Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here, Locked On Big 12 Podcast. Today, it is the 13th of June, 2022. It is Monday. Hope you're all's week's getting off to a good start. Today's show is brought to you by our friends at BetOnline and BetOnline.net, the best place to get in on the action for the NBA Finals, for the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs that are happening right now as well, and some future bets for college football as well. On the show today, a busy one. We have got to talk about last week. It was made official that the three AAC schools will be out of the AAC into the Big 12 in 2023. Obviously, BYU is coming over too, so I'll have that to talk about. And also, your questions here on a Monday mailbag edition of Locked On Big 12 Podcast.
You are Locked On Big 12. Your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Once again, hello everybody, Josh Neighbors here, Locked On Big 12 Podcast. I am back from vacation. I know I was absent last week, so back from vacation, rested, ready to go, and excited to get back to things. First story we have came this past week, it came on Friday. I believe it's when the news broke, but we got the news that the three Big 12 teams, AAC teams that are joining the Big 12 have negotiated their buyouts. So Andrew Adelson, I'm reading here from ESPN, says that Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF will officially join the Big 12 on July 1, 2023 after reaching an exit agreement with the American Athletic Conference, the league and schools announced on Friday. After Oklahoma and Texas announced their plans to move to the SEC last year, the Big 12 added Cincinnati, Houston, UCF, and BYU to its conference. The initial goal was to get the three schools from the American to the Big 12 in time for the 2023-2024 season. BYU is currently independent, so they can do whatever the hell they want. That's not what she says, but that's the actual reality of this. Oklahoma and Texas will depart for the SEC in 2025, though that timeline could change. We'll get to that here in a second. According to the term sheet, Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF will each pay $18 million to exit the American. The schools had been paying a $10 million exit fee in four annual payments through 2024, and they agreed to pay the additional $8 million spread out over 12 payments in 2025 through 2036. So the initial one to leave, it is $10 million, and they're going to make that in four payments. Each one of these schools will pay the $10 million in four payments through 2024, so the next 2 years. And then starting in 2025, they'll make an $8 million payment over the course of 12 payments. So less than $1 million there on those payments. And they'll make those over a long course of time. So I was actually doing a radio hit this morning, and I thought the figures were fair, right? The Big 12 gets what they want. The AAC obviously not getting what they want here, losing the schools, but getting a little bit extra cash, right? And originally, it's $10 million to leave. This goes to 18 now. So it's a bit more money, but it's in the grand scheme of things, these schools, the fact that they're paying an extra $8 million over the course of 12 years, it lessens the burden, also gives the AAC, in my opinion, some more long-term financial stability, right? Just more money for those schools over the course of time, which is going to be something nice to see that those schools are getting a nice little chunk of change over that period. So those are the terms. And look, the first thing we're all thinking about here is, yeah, this was just a matter of time, right? This was all the reporting that we have been seeing. I kind of almost did an episode before a few weeks ago talking about this very thing, basically saying, look, it's darn near official. We're just waiting for the word on it. And now we finally got it on Friday. And so now we can actually fully arm in arm embrace together and basically just say, yeah, I mean, we're looking at, Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF joining full time for all athletics in the coming year. And also, BYU is going to join that cohort. We already knew that they would, although we didn't think, I don't think anybody believed it was going to be just an 11-team league, which gets us to the next point, all right? Which gets us to the next thing that we're talking about here is that now what we're looking at is a 14-team league in the year 2023, possibly in the year 2024. It feels like right now, unless something really gets expedited, y'all, we're going to get a – I mean, and it could, right? It could. We have a full we have a full year right now, maybe this time next year, maybe on July or June 13th, 2023, we're talking about OU and Texas departing. But right now, what it looks like is this is set up to be a 14-team league in the year 2023 and potentially in 2024. I know some of you all out there have expressed, hey, good riddance to Texas and OU. I'm more of the mind that, hey, let's make some money off them while they're here and then, send them on their merry way. I think that's how it's going to, it should be at least. If you're talking about the financial viability of the conference and what's best for them is to have those schools, have them stay. And also I was asked about, maybe some vindictive scheduling. I don't know. I think the one thing that the Big 12 could do, and I'm a firm believer they should probably do this, is for the 14-team league, just go with the divisions, and then once OU and Texas leave, scrap them at that point. That's the way I would handle this. That's the way I would do it. I don't know how they're going to handle it, but if it were me making the divisions or trying to decide how things go, as long as it's a 14-team league, I would do divisions where I put OU and Texas together just so you don't have a situation where it's Oklahoma and Texas in the Big 12 championship game and they leave. And I don't think it's just petty. I think it's good business, Also, new Bucky's cups. Some of you guys can see this. Stopped at Bucky's on the way back from Hilton Head, South Carolina. Some of y'all I know Bucky's, love Bucky's. So got the new Bucky's cup. Only $12 for this. So very happy about that. Lose my voice a little bit today. With them coming to the league now in 2023, 2024, 14-team league is what I think for the first year. The consideration for Oklahoma and Texas is this. Disney and ESPN are going to get the SEC rights, correct? We know they're going to get those. 3:30 on CBS is going to 3:30 on ESPN or 3:30 on ABC, I forget which one it is. That kicks in 2024. The question then becomes, does ESPN, does Disney want, do they want to have the full complement of SEC teams there when that deal kicks in, or are they worth waiting, or is it just worth waiting for, right? So do you just hold off 1 year, does ESPN, does ABC say, all right, here's what we'll do. We'll help you all, Oklahoma and Texas, that is, get out of the Big 12, help you all with the payments because we want you guys in the league immediately. We want this SEC on ESPN family of networks. We want this big game to include OU and Texas. We want them to be able to play Alabama and Georgia and Florida and Auburn and A&M and so on and so forth. That's what we want. We'll see. We'll see, but I think that's something that's pretty enticing. I'll tell you one thing, though. The exit price, the price for them is going to be a bit steeper. And the earlier they go, so if they try to go now, I don't think it's going to happen now, but obviously it's going to be less expensive 1 year out as opposed to 2 years out. So I think the best chance of it happening, honestly, now I'm thinking about it, is next year. I think if they get to 2024, just wait the extra year. Do not front a ton of cash and just don't be patient. Wait till the next year and then go. Unless they just have the money for it. And when I say they, Oklahoma, Texas, SEC, Disney have the cash for it in 2024 and they just want to spring for it and say, all right, let's go ahead and do it. Let's pull the trigger now, right now on this. So to me, I think the most likely time they depart, if they are to, would be next summer. I actually don't think 2024, to me at least, would be that likely. So in all of this, in saying all this, I actually am of the belief right now, at least, we're going to get a 14-team Big 12 for 2 years. That's my thought. I could be totally wrong. I could be off there. You all might agree with me. You all might disagree with me. But my prediction right now, and once again, I could be totally wrong. This is not my most convicted take, as we've seen how these things change pretty quickly. But I'm feeling confident right now about 1 year, and I feel like if we get the one, I just told y'all, if we get the one, I think we're going to be getting the two. So that's what makes me hopeful. Obviously, I could be wrong. I could say, Josh, you're crazy. SEC could say, Josh, you're crazy. We'll front that money in 2024. We're not going to wait the one extra year in the 2023 offseason, I mean. So, the year, early 2024. Let's just say that. They might come in January and February and say, hey, season's over. By the way, we're paying, this number. We've been negotiating behind the scenes. I will say it felt like the AAC negotiations were a bit more public. You had a whole lot more of people saying it's just a matter of time for the AAC. I'm not hearing that on Texas and OU. I am not hearing people saying, it's just a matter of getting that dollar figure right. I'm sure there is a dollar figure. I'm sure it's out there that both sides would come to an agreement on. But I have not heard, I have not seen reported both sides talking about it and finding a middle ground coming to an agreement. So, I'm leaning right now towards three more years of OU and Texas in the league, 2 years of a 14-team Big 12. But, if it were to happen, once again, my thought is if it were to happen, I think it would happen next year. I think next year is the year where they just say, hey, let's get them 2 years early. I think, once again, at 1 year early, you're almost better off waiting the 1 year, all right, and not paying a large chunk of cash and then taking them on. I just think financially that makes more sense. Sure, you make it up in the back end eventually, but in the short term, you would be taking somewhat of a financial hit if you're the SEC, if you're ESPN, if you're Oklahoma, if you're Texas, because I do believe if they were to exit, they would get some assistance in that regard. So Josh's prediction, and once again, folks, this is like a 2 out of 10 on the confidence scale. I think we're going to get 2 years of a 14-team Big 12. That's my prediction right now. Let me know what you all think in the comments below. I'm sure a lot of you all disagree with me. I'm sure a lot of you all have comments of your own. I'm sure a lot of you all would say good riddance. Some of you all might say, hey, we'll take the money with OU and Texas they bring while they bring them. But we have a lot of excitement to talk about, not just with the 14-team league, but just those teams in general. We know for sure they are going to come. All right, quick word from our sponsors, then your questions. Today's show is brought to you by BetOnline and BetOnline.net. You all go to BetOnline today. When you guys do, sign up. It's free. It's easy. And when you guys sign up, you guys can see all of the awesome odds that they have for college football futures. They have odds, for the NHL playoffs. They have odds for the NBA playoffs. They have odds for all of those things. So go to BetOnline and BetOnline.net today. Thank you all for sending questions. If you all want to send questions, what you guys can do is you can comment them on these videos, or we have a community tab. And so what you guys can do is go to the community tab. I put on posts and you guys can leave comments. And we had a couple this week, so I want to thank everybody. Garth Still asks, best defensive coordinators this season. I'm biased. I'm going to say Derek Mason. His defense last season was really good. And also he has head coaching experience as well. Well, this is a really interesting question because when you think about the guy, and there's a lot of turnover, obviously, with coordinators. There's a lot of turnover in this conference as well. But I will say this. There are a couple really good defensive-minded head coaches in the Big 12 right now. Your question is, okay, how much credit can Ron Roberts take for Baylor's defense, and how much of that is Dave Aranda? Well, I think a lot of it is Ron Roberts, right? So I would go, power ranking, I don't know. I mean, so much of this is personnel-based, right? So much of this comes down to, hey, what guys do you have on the squad that can help you guys, help you out? I think the world of Derek Mason. I am a huge Derek Mason fan. I definitely think he's up there. I think one name that we don't mention enough is John Haycock over at Iowa State. I think he's done a great job with that defense and the way they play. So I would say that he is probably my top three right now, I would go Ron Roberts, Derek Mason, and John Haycock. I'm not really sure what order I would put them in. I think Pete Bukowski's a good coordinator, but it didn't obviously go very well at Texas last year. I think those three right now are the ones. And it's funny because Derek Mason, you know, is just coming into the league now as a DC, but I think the world of him as a coordinator. So if you want to ask me kind of, yeah, Josh, you know, give me the three best coordinators in this league, I'm going to go with Mason, I'm going to go with Haycock, and then I'm going to go with Roberts. The order, not really sure. I mean, performance-wise, I think the best performance-wise is going to end up being Baylor. I want to say out of those three, I think I want to say Baylor. I think the Iowa State defense has a chance to really surprise us. And then I think the Oklahoma State defense, obviously, you know, they've got some remnants of last year's team. So I think they're going to be – I think they have a chance to be really good, obviously, and they're really going to be well-coached as well. So, yeah, I think the best out of those three – I know Terrell Bernard and Jalen Petrie are gone. But I would say the best out of those three, the best defense, I think, is going to be Baylor's. Now, that, once again, does not necessarily mean that I think Ron Roberts is the best out of those three. So, once again, Roberts, Mason, Haycock, my three – for the best defensive coordinators in this league. Thank you, Garth Still, for your question. All right, so another question we got from Sam is what we think, and I'm going to ask this. He says, what do you guys think? So I think he also wants me to ask some of the other folks on the show, and I'll ask some of the guys tomorrow night when we do our weekly roundtable. Make sure you guys always check that out. He asks, what are the best 10 position groups? And so I'm not going to list 10, but when we talk about like the position groups that we think we're going to see in the Big 12 this year, like what are the best groups? Well, I think the first group that I think of when I, you know, think about this league and how good a thing's going to be, I think the wide receivers at Texas are going to be really good. I think particularly Isaiah Nair and obviously Xavier Worthy. So it's the pass catchers from Texas. The Texas running backs are going to be really good as well. Roschon Johnson, I think, and because we mentioned Bijan Robinson so much on this podcast, I think Roschon Johnson does not get enough credit for how good of a player he is. And that's because he's been behind Bijan Robinson. Whenever they need him to step up, he does. And this is a guy that, you know, that over the last three seasons for them, has almost, what is this? I mean, he's almost at, he's one carry short of 300 carries. So his first carry in 2022 will be the 300th carry of his college career. And also has plenty of touches, you know, catching the football as well. So this is a guy that last year had a really nice season, 96 carries for 569, almost 6 yards a carry. And five touchdowns. Not as good of a pass catcher, but really Bijan. That's where Bijan, you know, really does a lot of his work. And then once again, the two games late in the season for me that kind of highlighted this were I thought he looked strong at times in that West Virginia game, 15 carries, 77 yards and a score. And then the Kansas State game was not a revelation, but it was like a really good example of what he can do. 31 for 179, the touchdown. He was a horse that day. And for a team that really, you know, their quarterback play was so inconsistent, they said, all right, our backup running back is going to carry us against what I think is a pretty good Kansas State team. And he did. So I would go that direction. Another group, the Kansas running backs, I think are going to be really strong this year. I think that could be a really strong position group. I'm going to say on, especially on a defensive note or off a little bit more offensive note, I think for sure the Baylor offensive line has to be one of the best groups. I mean, it's going to be, I think it should be one of the best groups nationally. Now, I think they overperformed maybe last season, but this is a really, really good group. It's really old, right? It got Connor Galvin, who's a senior. Jeffrey is a senior. Gall is a graduate. Miller is a graduate. You know, and Keith is a redshirt senior, so damn near graduate. And then Ben Sims off the edge of the line. I know Ben Sims is a tight end, but like he's going to be helping out with blocking. That's an old group, fellas. That's an old group, friends, ladies and gentlemen. So I think that group's got a chance to be really good. I think on the other side, like if I think Baylor's best case for winning the league this year is the fact that they can control the line of scrimmage, right? They lose a linebacker, sure. You know, and Terrell Bernard, awesome linebacker. You lose Jalen Petrie, sure. You lose guys like JT Woods, sure. On offense, you know, you're losing weapons on the outside, in the backfield, you're switching quarterbacks. So there's a whole lot of variance, I guess is the word, that could happen there. The one question, one thing I would say, though, is that the defensive line, we think about groups that are going to be really good this year. The defensive line for Baylor between TJ Franklin, Siaki Ika, and Gabe Hall, I mean, look, that's a pretty old, experienced group, right? That group for them up front is going to be really strong. So I think that's a really good shout, if you will, on the defensive side. I would definitely say that the Baylor defensive line is going to be up there too. And then, I'm really curious to see what you get from the defensive line that we're going to see from Oklahoma State. Tyler Lacey, Brennan Evers, Ossie, and then also Brock Martin. Like, that's a really old group as well, really old up front. And so they lost a lot of pieces in that middle of the defense and towards the back end, obviously. Think about, you know, Colby Harvell-Peel and Malcolm Rodriguez. Losing those guys, yeah, it's going to hurt. But they do have some age in the back. Thomas Harper, Jason Taylor, all are pretty old guys. So, look, I think this Oklahoma State, I was talking about the defenses earlier. I think because Baylor's defense up front, them and Oklahoma State are kind of fighting for first. I think I give Baylor the edge right now, and so they can control line of scrimmage. But, look, I do believe that the front and the back of Oklahoma State's defense are going to be strong. Also, middle, not sure yet. Let's see. But I really do believe they're going to have a strong front and a strong secondary. But I would say right now I would give that Baylor defensive front a nod. But still, I'm definitely looking at that Oklahoma State defensive front group as well. I think actually a lot of questions for them are going to be on offense. And that sometimes puts more pressure on your defense and makes your defense look worse. And, 2020 Baylor is a good example of this. Like, their defense really couldn't shine because their offense wasn't doing them too many favors. That's kind of worst case scenario for Oklahoma State is like their defense was asked to work a lot last year and work they did spectacularly. Can you do that this year though? Can you put this defense in that many bad positions? And we'll see. It's going to be up to Spencer Sanders and company to make sure that the defense is put in good straight. So look, I'm giving the Baylor defense in terms of performance, like I think ceiling a little bit of an edge right now, I think, but it's not very much over Oklahoma State. We talked about, actually glad these two questions kind of connected. So position groups, I really like Texas wide receivers. There's no one particular order. Texas running backs because of Roschon Johnson really getting that strength. Kansas running backs as well. Shout out to the skill position players, Brooks, Knowles, Vaughn over there at Kansas State. It's a good shout there too. Baylor offensive line is there on offense for me. And then the two defensive fronts I really like coming into 2022, it's going to be the Baylor defensive front, the Oklahoma defensive front, Oklahoma State defensive front, also Oklahoma State secondary, looking at them as well. So there's a few of the position groups. And we'll think about more of a top 10. And I'll ask the guys tomorrow night to give the best position group from their schools. And so we can have a conversation debate about position groups as well. That will do it for today's show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at LO Big 12. You guys can follow me at Josh Neighbors _. You guys can find the show every podcast and on YouTube as well. Till next time, my friends, as always, stay safe.